Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Psalm 27 is a great passage of prophetic empowerment, of encouragement, of giving you ground to stand upon when you feel like you're overwhelmed by the circumstances. And it begins with a great encouragement by saying in Psalm 27 and 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now let's look at that when it says, "The Lord is my light." First of all, you have to consider the source. This is not ordinary light. This is not average man-made light. This is not something that has been manufactured in a factory. You're not going to go down to Home Depot and find this light. You got to find this light, not even in the religious systems of the world, but you have to have a personal, intimate, up-close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord, the psalmist said, is my light. And think about how that source is also supernatural, because this light is the light that lights the whole world. It's the light that empowers and strengthens and gives energy and fuel to the universe. It's the power that upholds the worlds by the word of his power, according to Hebrews chapter 1. So my friend, if you've been stumbling around in the darkness, if you have been confused by circumstances that you're in, and you need spiritual clarity, I'm telling you, God can clear the lens of your faith today. He can give you understanding and comprehension in the most disillusioning and disenfranchising times. We certainly live in a culture where sin is being tolerated and deception is on every corner. But when you have the Lord as your light, you've got something that begins to shine in a dark world. And when the light of the Word of God comes on, it causes the darkness to recede. It causes demonic agendas to flee. That's why we've got to walk in that light. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 119, "Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." Because that Word of God is my salvation. That Word of God is my defense against deception. That Word of God is my ability to see so that I am not so easily seduced by satanic temptations. The Lord is my light, not just some distant being or some despotic, tyrannical force holding a Poseidon's trident ready to strike me down if I do wrong. No, this is a God that desires fellowship. This is a God that wants to be up close and personal with us. And when you think about how the Lord is my light and my salvation, you have to think about, first of all, you have to have an explanation. You have to know who this is that you're talking about, that you're getting close to, that you're building a relationship with. Not just somebody that you want to learn about in school. Not just somebody that you have a very acute historical understanding of, but somebody who is more than just a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, as the book of Proverbs says, but is a Savior, is a King, is the Almighty God, and fulfills every facet of need in our lives, fulfills every emotion in our lives. That's why when you not only have this explained to you and you respond to the explanation of the gospel, becomes your own personal experience. So now you have experience and you have explanation. And as you go beyond that, then you begin to exercise your faith within the environments and this culture and this kingdom of Almighty God, where you live in the good news of the redemptive blood of the Lamb. You live in the good news of His grace that you can feast upon, His favor that you can have fruitful fields in your life, in this relationship with God that gives you peace that passes all understanding. It becomes your own experience And then it becomes an exercise of that faith and the kingdom of God that you walk in, your character growing, the fruits of the Spirit growing, you're having the gifts of the Spirit bestowed upon your life. You're learning more and more about this great God that you serve, and you witness His glories and the miracles that He performs, and you witness His grace in the many times that He picks you up from those places where you have fallen down. So the Lord is my light and my salvation. I've had an explanation of it. It became an experience. You now begin to exercise and walk in the power of that. And then what we understand about this light is that there is exposure. You live in an understanding of the Word of God and a growing knowledge of the Word of God, a reason that is able to exercise and able to make proper and holy and righteous decisions because you are on a path of righteousness for His name's sake. You're on a journey with God. You're in this relationship with God, and there's light that is shining upon your path. Sometimes we need that light to shine on our past so that we can see and remember what God has delivered us from. It could be that someone I'm talking to today could be encouraged by remembering the testimony that God gave you, the trouble that He delivered you out of, the muck and the mire of iniquity that He elevated you out of, put you on solid ground, built your life on the foundation of truth, gave you a reason and a purpose to live beyond all of the temporary circumstances of this world. And so now you live in this light that shines. You live in this halogen of holiness, if you will. When you think about even the terminology of lumens, you're talking about the measure of light. We go and we buy light bulbs, right, for our kitchens and our bedrooms and our bathrooms and places that we live. And sometimes we buy 40-watt light bulbs, or you might buy a 25-watt light bulb, or in other places where it can handle a little more voltage and electricity, you might buy 100-volt light bulbs. And so each one of these bulbs has a certain amount of lumens, or how much light it's going to give forth, how much brightness is going to be in that light. So obviously, a 100-watt bulb is going to have more lumens and more ability to spread that light or to shine that light to a further distance and also maintain a certain brightness at that distance. And that's what describes the lumens. I read somewhere the other day where it would take 34 trillion flashlights, just average everyday flashlights, to come up to the power or the lumens of the sun. That's what God created as a light source in our galaxy. And then we think about the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings, Malachi 4:2. That light shines to our spiritual condition, that light shines, and the dread and the doubts and the disappointments and the depressions begin to recede because you're living in that light. And as the psalmist said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And because I have that, because I understand that, he says, whom shall I fear? Notice he didn't say, what shall I fear? He keyed in on the adversary, not the adversity. Because when you defeat the adversary with the knowledge of grace, with the power of your faith, with determined joy of the Lord that is your strength, then as we understand from the New Testament, when John said, perfect love casteth out all fear. So when you understand who you belong to, then you understand who you don't have to have fear of. You don't have to give in to the intimidation of darkness or to the intimidation of demons. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. He's the one that supplies energy to my spiritual stamina. He's the one that gives fuel to my faith. He's the one that gives apostolic voltage, if you will, in order for me to have the lumens of faith to shine. That's why Jesus said in the New Testament, when he was talking about the disciples, that ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill
cannot be hid. So he's trying to get across to the church, and he's trying to get across to you and I in this generation that we're like the moon that reflects the brightness of the sun. You and I in our daily Christian walk and our apostolic boldness to stand for the truth, to spiritually fight through spiritual warfare and prayer and fasting and consecration to the kingdom of God. We fight those evil forces that want to distort the doctrines of the Bible, that want to twist and reinterpret scriptures in the Bible so that folks can justify sin, so that folks can come up with modern versions of religion that have no righteousness in it, that begins to call evil wrong and wrong evil. Well, you and I are supposed to be lights to this generation. And the lumens of our faith is directly influenced and affected, first of all, by our relationship with God, and then secondly, by the responsibility we have to walk in the strength of the life that he's given us. Let's not be weak with worldliness. Let us not be wearied by all of the visual circumstances around us and the distractions that can cause us to miss the miraculous presence of God, cause us to become premature in the things that God is developing in us, into the miracles that God is putting together and processing for us. And before you know it, all of a sudden we've been dimmed in our spiritual perspective, and where we used to have clarity, we now are beginning to doubt it just a little bit. It's a little too misty or foggy, or we get uncertain in our carnality. Maybe we didn't quite pray as much as we should have about that decision, about that situation, about that relationship conflict. But my friend, I tell you today that if you stand with the Lord as your light and your salvation, you stand in a place where you don't have to be afraid of the enemy, and you have a strength. The Bible said, he's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The conquering of fear and the ability to walk in a place where you're not afraid is directly related to how we walk in the brightness of truth. Think about this. What is going to destroy the last day, son of perdition, man of sin, empire of the Antichrist? What's going to bring it to ruin? For a season, for an hour, it's going to look like he has triumph. And in fact, even Revelation 13 said it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. So even for a period, it looks like that righteousness cannot stop his rebellion. But oh, 2 Thessalonians 2 says that wicked is going to be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. It's the lumens of the revelation of the brightness and radiance of a returning Christ that's going to bring ruin to the rebellious empire of the Antichrist. It's that light, friend, that is our salvation. It's that light that gives us peace not to be afraid of the circumstances or the satanic attacks in this generation. The psalmist then goes on to say in Psalm 27 and 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Now think about that. The reason that the enemy here is stumbling and falling is because he doesn't have the same access to light that the disciple does, that the true worshiper possesses. You are walking in the light. So somebody is trying to attack you out of a position of darkness, from the shadows of shame, from the places where the lumens of truth have been so dimmed by false doctrine and seducing spirits that you can't hardly see the hand in front of your face. That's why they stumble and fall, because they're trying to attack from a position of darkness. You ever tried to even run through your own house in the dark, even though you know the rooms? And you might even know where the steps are, but chances are, 9 times out of 10, if you keep running in the dark, you're essentially and eventually going to trip over something. Something you forgot, a chair that was left out in the middle of the room, or just getting off track just a little bit because you can't see what's in front of you. My friend, I want to encourage somebody today that the enemy that wants you to live in the shadows of condemnation, the enemy that wants you to live in the ruins of regret, the enemy that wants you to live in the desolate places where all the dreams are withered up and you don't feel like any of your hopes have any kind of life left to them, and you feel like you've had them on life support for the last several days, weeks, or months, I come to tell you today that you walk in the light. You maintain your faith. Don't look at the circumstances around you based on what you visually see, but you stand on the word of God that says we walk by faith and not by sight, because the internal light that shines, that glorious light of the gospel that cannot be extinguished by your circumstances. My friend, it doesn't matter what the enemy with his plans and strategies is trying to execute against you. You maintain your walk in the light, and the word says they're going to stumble and they're going to fall. He goes on to say in Psalm 27 and 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. What is he being confident of? That the Lord is his light. Where is he putting his confidence? That God is his salvation. Why does he have this kind of confidence and assurance? This is not religious arrogance. This is not leaning on human understanding. But when he says, in this will I be confident, that when the enemy comes to attack, when the enemy wants to devour him, when the enemy wants to leave him but nothing but a sack full of dead bones to dry up in some valley of forgottenness and shame, he realizes that his confidence is that his enemy is going to stumble and fall. And though it doesn't matter how many are numbered against him, because it doesn't matter what number there is, it matters what name you call upon. And when you call upon the name of the Lord, there is deliverance from the most impossible circumstances, from the most impossible dilemmas, from the most impassable places where it seems like the mountain range of difficulty ahead of you is just no way that you're going to be able to tread that, walk that, get through that. And all of a sudden, God shows you a trail, gives you the strength, and in this, you are confident. So the psalmist goes on to say, in Psalm 27 and 4, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now think about that. He's not just going to church because it's a religious obligation. He's not just going to church because his parents made him go to church. He's not just going to church because he's got to mark that off of his achiever's checklist for the week of things that have to be done. Oh no, there's desire, there's passion. It's a part of the will of the man. The psalmist desires to be in the presence of God. And in fact, when he sums it all up, when he pares it all down, when he prunes everything else away from the one branch of importance in his life, you know what he says? There's one thing have I desired. He didn't say, well, there's one among many things I've desired. You know, I'm really looking forward to all the social functions I'm going to have this week. And then, you know, I'm going to also go to church and worship God. No, he summed it in the one thing. It was one singular, most important priority. One thing have I desired. And that was to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. Now think about that, friend. Where am I going to get my light? Where am I going to find this source of the supernatural? Where am I going to find a salvation and a defense against all the demonic mess going on in this world? How am I truly going to be an overcomer? Well, that light shines in the house of God. That light shines in the presence of the Lord. That's why, friend, you got to get up and go to church on Sunday morning. That's why you've got to be fed the word of God from a man of God who has consecrated himself before the Lord. Because when you get in the presence of God, how many times has the Lord confirmed something to you that you'd been praying about, a passage of scripture that you had highlighted earlier in that week, and you showed up to church and you couldn't believe how the man of God walked all over that same text? You think that's accidental? I don't. I think it's divine appointment. I think God had you on that path of spiritual understanding and prophetic awareness, so that when you walked into the light of the house of the Lord and he began to turn up the lumens and the brightness of your understanding, and in the presence of the Lord and the congregation of people worshiping God, all of a sudden now you feel this confidence coming back and condemnation is waning. You feel this spiritual alertness coming back to you, and you suddenly, it's not this slothful feeling, or it's not this weak and wearied feeling, or this spiritual fatigue, if you will. But all of a sudden, you feel the strength coming back to you, and the light has been turned on, and you know what to do in the coming days, because not only had the Lord already dealt with you about a passage of Scripture, but the man of God preached on it just a few days later. I'm telling you, be encouraged in the Lord. The Lord is your light. The Lord's trying to turn on that light for somebody. I'm praying that wherever you're at, whatever path you might be on right now, whatever circumstance you might be facing right now, that you'll realize that your help is in the Lord. And that maybe it's just like, you know, when you walk into a dark house, you just reach over and flip the switch. Or if it's in an old room somewhere or out in a shed, and you reach up and you grab that string and you pull down on it and you hear the click until the light comes on. How about a spiritual application that in your own soul, as you walk into some of those scary rooms, maybe rooms of the past, you just click on that light and you see that the Lord has cleared out the clutter, that the Lord is sitting in every room of your kingdom, of your walk, of your heart, of your personal walk with God, and this relationship with God that's growing every day. Don't let the enemy discourage you, but do as David said, oh, when I go to church, I'm not just going to the house of the Lord so I can see how so-and-so dressed, or so that I can compare myself in some social awareness moment, you know, am I dressed up as good as everybody else? Do I look as good as everybody else? Am I worshiping as good as everybody else? No, it stops being a comparative analysis with everybody else. You know what the psalmist said? He said, I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's my attention. When you turn your praise and your worship toward God, the house of the Lord doesn't become a competition. It becomes a place of power, of strength, of renewal, of refreshment. And there's some folks I'm talking to right now. You need a time of refreshment. You need a spiritual breakthrough, and it will come in the house of the Lord when you stop looking around and start looking back at him. Be encouraged when the psalmist said, I'm going to behold the beauty of the Lord. And from that witnessing the glory and the power and who he is, that's when I start inquiring. That's when my prayers and what I have as petitions and what I need to ask God about, and sometimes even plead for the mercy of the Lord about, it's going to become clear, because I'm not looking at everybody else. I'm looking at him. I'm beholding the beauty of the Lord. And the psalmist goes on to say in Psalm 27:5, he said, for in the time of trouble shall he hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Isn't that encouraging? Now think about those three things right there. The pavilion, the tabernacle, and the rock. The pavilion and the tabernacle are very similar. But in the sense of the Hebrew word for pavilion, it can be anywhere in the tent. It can be anywhere that something is just stretched out. In fact, the literal meaning of the word has to do with a butterfly, because when a tent was stretched out and the material of it was, you know, put with the stakes and the poles and was set up, it looked like a butterfly. And so out of this concrete and literal thing became this more figurative understanding of how the Lord could put us in his pavilion. But oh, my friend, there is something far deeper to understand than just the pavilion. And that's the tabernacle and the rock. And I want to talk to you about that next week when we continue to talk about the Lord is my light. And so I pray for you today. I pray for the strength of the Lord to come to those that have been weakened and wearied by circumstances. I pray for those that maybe have been blinded by old stuff and old memories and haunting things trying to creep out of your past. Shame and condemnation and accusations and fears. I pray, oh God, let somebody turn on the light today and be encouraged
that the Lord is their light in Jesus' mighty name.
When I consider your cost, I feel that giving you my life is the very least that I can do.
I give you my heart, my soul belongs to you, Jesus. You are the one, the only one who's worthy of all of my praises. I give you all my heart, my soul belongs to you, Jesus.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath. In a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.